live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Oh, yes, it's about that time. 1 p.m. here on this July 18th, 2019. It is Thursday, or as I like to call it, Friday Eve. One more day, folks. One more day, and then the weekend is upon you all. But in the meantime, we plan on getting you through the week with another fantastic hour of current sports coming right to your ear. And, of course, today we will be having further discussion on what's taking place out in Chicago, Chi-Town, in Illinois, as Big Ten Media Days officially kicked off today. So today you'll hear many head coaches hitting the podium and addressing the upcoming college football season. You know, you'll hear a lot of positivity, folks. You won't hear anything negative. You know, that's the thing about Big Ten Media Days. It's a catch-22. It's cool because, you know, in my eyes, you know, it's the start, the unofficial start of college football. But, you know, it's a catch-22 for me because on the other side of that, I mean, everything is lollipops and rainbows. You know, you really don't get a lot of sexy material out there. Every coach believes that his team will compete for a Big Ten championship. His team will be competitive each and every Saturday. You know, it's filled with hope. A lot of hope out there for college football fans, depending on which school you root for in the Big Ten Conference, all right? And that's including, of course, Michigan State University. So Mark D'Antonio, you know, as we mentioned yesterday, he is going all defense when it comes to his player representatives at Big Ten Media Days, as Kenny Willekes, Joe Bocci, and Raekwon Williams. Speaking of, I mean, it's like you had to bring Raekwon, right? I mean, he's a Illinois native, Chi-Town, and one of his goals is to become the mayor of Chicago. So you had to bring Raekwon, right? Especially when you look at the year that he had last season. So, Mark D'Antonio is scheduled to talk around 1:30 p.m. And we are going to try our best on the fly to record a bit of that presser and play it on the back end of the show. Right now, the president of the Big Ten Network is actually speaking to the media. Big Ten Network president Francois McGillicuddy, he is addressing the media at Big Ten Media Day. And again, looking at the schedule right now, Mark D'Antonio, head coach of your Michigan State football team, he is scheduled to speak around 1:30 p.m. Again, Alec Rio, the man behind the glass for today's current sports, and myself, we're going to try our best to roll in a bit of what Coach D has to say during this hour. I was really hoping that he was either going to speak, you know, before the show or even after, so we could, we're going to bring some of it hopefully today, but we'll play an extended portion of it on Friday's current sports. But I was really hoping that he would talk before the show so that we can roll that in.
It's definitely worth the challenge, though.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I'd say so.
I mean, if we can get, I think we can get some of it on if Big Ten Media Days, looking at the schedule, if they are on time. Hopefully, D'Antonio isn't late and doesn't speak at like 1:45.
We're at the mercy of on-time scheduling.
I know, man. I'm telling you, dude. So we'll try to roll that in for you guys. Also, you know, I took a really thorough look at Michigan State football yesterday. And I kind of went through
what I would like to hear from Mark Antonio today, as well as his players. And, you know, I brought up how Mark Antonio is 20-18 since the Cotton Bowl loss to Alabama in 2015. I brought up how there is just so many questions on the offense. It's too many for me to sit here and say that Michigan State is going to be a struggle bus come next season or is going to be world beaters. I can't make a strong conclusion on this team just yet because there are way too many questions on the offense. Can and will Brian Lewerke bounce back after that really tough season last year in which I thought the coaching staff put him at a disadvantage because they played him even though he was not 100%. Will Brad Salem moving to offensive coordinator provide a jolt to that offense? I have no idea. Or will it look the same? Who is going to be the lead running back? You see a trend here. There are just way too many questions offensively for me to sit here on the airwaves and say Michigan State is going to do this or that next season. Now, last year's defense, what I can say is that last year's defense and returning eight starters on that defense, that was a special defense. Ranked first in the country in rushing defense, eighth in scoring, and 10th in total defense, returning eight starters. That is why you see the heavy defensive representation in Chicago right now for Big Ten Media Days when it comes to the Spartans and Williams, Willekes, and Bocci. That defense is special, and when you return that amount of starters, I mean, all signs point to you being pretty good on that side of the football come next season. So what I can say, and I'm not going out on a limb here, pretty obvious, Stevie Wonder can see this, Michigan State's defense will be pretty good next season. So we combed through that a bit, and today what I'm going to do is take a big picture look at the Big Ten Conference as a whole, and I'll explain why this is a key year. Not just for certain teams within the Big Ten Conference, but for the Big Ten as a whole. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can also weigh in on our live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Also on the docket, I do want to touch on the British Open and give you an update on what's happening out in Northern Ireland. It's a surprise when it comes to a few golfers out there, especially, you know, the local product, Rory McIlroy. Not a great start for him. He was actually the 8-1 favorite coming into today's first round at Royal Portrush, a course in which Rory has had immense success. You know, at one time, you know, he shot a 61 on that course as a youngster. But not a great start for him. I'll give you an update on the leaderboard and also on my man, 50 grand, Tiger Woods. All right? But you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Okay, again, Big Ten Media Days kicking off today. And, you know, when it comes to Mark D'Antonio and, you know, the representation of Michigan State football out in Chicago, you know, 2018, that was the worst offense of D'Antonio's first 12 seasons, causing MSU to fall from a 10-3 resurgence season in 2017 to 7-6. A lot of that had to do with the health of quarterback Brian Lewerke, as I mentioned, and, you know, the health of his arm and his struggles passing among a bevy of midseason injuries to his receivers. The Spartans also struggled to run the ball with L.J. Scott out for most of the season and had to patch together an offensive line on a weekly basis due to injuries. We all know about the woes of last season, but Big Ten Media Days evokes hope to all teams within the conference. And I'm excited to hear a bit of what Coach D'Antonio has to say But again, for the most part, though, you know, my excitement is tempered a bit when it comes to Big Ten Media Days because I feel like I hear the same thing over and over each and every single year. But again, there's a few sexy storylines for the Spartans here when it comes to Brian Lewerke's arm and Brad Salem moving to coordinator now. So we'll see what happens. And again, we hope to roll in a bit of Mark D'Antonio's press conference at some point in this hour, seeing as though he speaks at 1:30, if he's on time. Hopefully we can roll that in around like 1:45-ish for you guys, all right? So keep it locked for that. Six of Jim Harbaugh's assistant coaches signed new contracts with the Michigan football team earlier this year, all receiving slight to moderate pay raises and some huge performance incentives. Most of the contracts obtained by MLive.com this week through a public records request were signed in April. Though defensive coordinator Don Brown inked a new three-year deal in February that could escalate his yearly earnings. Brown is set to earn $1 million in salary this year, a figure in line with his original contract, but netted a $500,000 retention bonus in April. His new deal also includes several performance bonuses, which include $50,000 if Michigan posts a top four scoring defense in the Big Ten. Also $50,000 if Michigan posts a top four total defense in the Big Ten. Also $50,000 if Michigan posts a top 20 total defense nationally among Power 5 schools. Also $50,000 if Michigan posts a top 20 scoring defense nationally among Power 5 schools. That must be nice, right? That's why these coaches' works are hard. You want those bonuses that are a lot of money. And also $75,000 per win, including and exceeding 9 in the regular season for a maximum of $300,000. Yeah, it must be nice. Also, an update when it comes to Moneyball. The Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am at Aim High, the Aim High Sports Complex in Diamonddale, Michigan, will continue again each and every Tuesday and Thursday. At the Aim High Sports Complex. It's quote-unquote free, donations accepted. Not often that you get to see this kind of basketball talent for free. So, you know, help Desmond Ferguson out, the founder of Moneyball Sportswear and the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am in its 16th annual year. Games beginning at 6 p.m. All right, so three games tonight, 6, 7, and 8. Enjoy it. Also, you know, I thought that this was a bit excessive when I read this. The powers that be at USL League One were as harsh on Lansing Ignite coach Nate Miller as the comments that he made about the officials on Saturday. On Monday, you know, I read to you a bit of what Nate had to say. He trashed the officials and felt like the officials were horrid and costed them a win. You know, there was a controversial handball call on Ignite that when you look at the replay, it was completely wrong. And Nate Miller, you know, he talked to one of the officials and one of the officials in his headset got word from another official that, you know, that wasn't a handball on Ignite, but they went with the call on the field and Nate went off. So this is what the league on Wednesday decided to do. Nate Miller has been suspended for 3 matches and fined an undisclosed amount for those, quote, disparaging comments made following Saturday's 2-2 draw against FC Tucson. Now, Miller will miss Friday's match against Toronto FC, South Georgia Tormenta, and Chattanooga Red Wolves. Those games taking place again Friday, also on July 27th against Georgia Tormenta, and July 31st against Chattanooga, the Red Wolves. So, Lansing Ignite has announced that it will appeal the ruling, and this is what the team tweeted. Quote, while we do not condone his comments, Lansing Ignite plans to appeal the penalties levied in Wednesday's USL League One discipline rule that calls for a multi-game suspension of an undisclosed fine, and an undisclosed fine, I should say, following the club's draw against FC Tucson. Again, I think that this is a bit excessive. A 3-game suspension in a really key portion of Lansing Ignite's schedule due to Nate Miller and his unhappiness with the officiating on Saturday. So there you have that. And he also noted in one of those quotes, again, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, yeah, now we have to go to Toronto where their officials are even worse. So, yeah, 3-game suspension for Nate Miller. Okay, the sister-in-law of former USA Gymnastics coach John Gettert has agreed to purchase one of 2 gyms he founded. Longtime Twist Stars Gymnastics Club employee Kiki Wixon said she is the new owner of Kiki's Gymnastics on Clark Road. Kiki's Gymnastics is located at the former home of Gettert's Twist Stars USA Gymnastics Gym. The Twist Stars Club in Diamonddale remains open. This is what Wixon said of her new gym. Quote, this has been a dream of mine for a long time. Now I have an opportunity to use my insight and my ideas. Wixon is the sister of Catherine Gettert, John Gettert's wife, and said on Monday she signed and purchased an agreement for the DeWitt Township location on April 1st. Wixon is hopeful a lease with the Lansing-based Ide Company and other paperwork will be finalized in a few weeks. All right, the Detroit Tigers, they lost again. The Tigers have lost 7 of their last 8 games. They lose to the Cleveland Indians. Yep, 7-2 last night. Mm-hmm. Yep, the Indians scored 4 runs in the 8th with the win, while Cleveland starter Mike Clevinger, struck out 12 batters over Detroit. So the final game of this 4-game set is tonight, 7:10 p.m. in Cleveland. You can catch that one on Fox Sports Detroit. And right now, the Detroit Tigers in the basement of the American League Central, an overall record of 29-61. 29-61. The only worse record in the MLB is Baltimore right now at 28-66. So 2-8 in the last 10 games, 12-32 at home, 17-29 on the road. There you have that. Okay. The Detroit Pistons have added some extra pieces to the hardwood. Christian Wood.
Shazam.
Yeah, you like that pun? Alec Rio writing that in my script. Christian Wood was taken off waivers by the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons announced that move yesterday. The 6'10 Wood appeared in 21 games last season for Milwaukee and New Orleans, averaging 8.2 points. He's averaged 5.3 points in 51 career NBA games for Philly, Charlotte, Milwaukee, and New Orleans. Wood, who can play power forward or center, he averaged nearly 17 points and 8 rebounds during the 8 games that he did play for the Pelicans at the end of last season, but he was still waived by NOLA. And after 68 years, the Open Championship is back at Royal Portrush for what should be an epic finale to the 2019 major season. There are endless storylines. The primary one, though, centered around Rory McIlroy, who coming into today was listed as the 8-1 favorite to take this thing and hold the claret jug on Sunday. As I mentioned earlier in the show, you know, he posted once a 61 as a youngster at that very course at Royal Portrush. But as for his start, well, just not great. McIlroy shot an 8 on the first. Yeah, folks, that's a quadruple bogey. Yeah, he posted an 8 on the first, struggled the rest of the front 9, did not perform better on the back. He went into the clubhouse with an 8 over 79, his second worst round at an Open. So Tiger Woods, Woods struggled today too. Woods was not great. You know, he had like through 6, I believe, a bogey, then he had a double bogey. Tiger really struggled. When it comes to the leaderboard, just give you guys a quick update here. John Rahm is leading the field. He was my second. I said that Brooks Koepka was going to pull out this thing, and that's who I chose as the winner. Brooks Koepka is tied with a ton of other golfers at 3-under, shooting a 68 for the round. But John Rahm was my second pick, and he is right now 5-under through 10. So he leads the field at 5-under. Shane Lowry had a chance to shoot, you know, lower. Shane Lowry, he walked into the clubhouse after round 1 with a 4-under 67. And he is tied for second, also posting a 4-under. But, you know, J.B. Holmes is also tied with him at 4-under. But J.B. Holmes still has an opportunity to possibly catch Rahm and shoot even lower than that or worse as he is on the 14th hole right now. So John Rahm and J.B. Holmes still with rounds going in round one of the Open Championship and Rahm leading the field at 5-under. And when it comes to Tiger, as I scroll here, can I find him, please? Pop-up Tiger somewhere here. I'll give you an update on Tiger Woods right now. I cannot pinpoint where he is on the leaderboard right now, which is not a good thing. If I have to scroll that much.
He's tied for 142nd place.
Oh, my
plus
goodness.
Six overall right now.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, through 11. He is plus six. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's just keep the show rolling. I have no more words. My goodness. All right, folks, again, Big Ten Media Days happening out in Chicago right now. I've been following many, many people out there on social media, local reporters who are in Chicago covering Michigan State and Michigan. And, you know, this is an interesting tweet here, Alec. Colton Pouncey, who is the Michigan State football writer for The Athletic Detroit, he tweeted this out. In the 2018 media guide, these were the listed weights of Michigan State's offensive line. Cole Chewins last year weighed 290. Tyler Higbee was 285. Matt Allen was 300. Kevin Jarvis, 321. And Jordan Reed was 275. My goodness, Kevin Jarvis was listed as 321 pounds. My goodness. So this year, 2019, check it. Cole Chewins has added some weight, going from 290 to now 303. Tyler Higbee also added weight, going from 285 to 300 pounds. Matt Allen added 3 pounds, from 300 to 303. Kevin Jarvis, I guess he looked at that 321 and said, that's far too heavy. Far too heavy. I need to lose some weight. And he has gone from 321 pounds to 307. That's awesome stuff. So he got on a weight loss plan there and hit the treadmill, did some cardio, and he lost a lot of weight. 321, 307, that's pretty impressive. And then you have Jordan Reed adding weight, going from 275 to 305 pounds. So Michigan State's offensive line, all a little over 300 pounds. That's pretty big. Watch out.
That's like nearly double my size. I weigh right? 155 pounds, and I go, you know, I work out 4 days a week,
yeah.
And I can only reach that. So I can't even imagine how strong those guys are. That's
oh my
insane.
Goodness. That is
that's insane.
I'm 180. I'm 180.
Exactly.
Yeah, these guys are much taller than us, though. A lot more muscle than us. Even though I try to. You know, I'm in the gym every day, I feel like, but
I mean, it's also crazy how much the athletes love Five Guys. I remember I used to work there last summer, and I've been there a couple times where Tyler Higbee and Brian Lewerke, they've gone there, they've gotten two burgers, you know, like they like to stock up on Five Guys, I must
for
say.
Sure. What is the thing about being a lineman?
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just a lineman, period. I mean, because as a lineman, that may be the most unhealthy position on a football field because you got
to
be big. And
you have to
and,
be.
And all that weight, unless you're like Ndamukong Suh and you're a freak, or J.J. Watt, all that weight, you know, isn't all muscle. A lot of it is. But there's a lot of fat there as well. And these guys are notorious for going to a place like that or going to some restaurant and just ordering and eating a ton of food. And their calorie intake is off the charts because they got to stay that weight. You know, they got to stay that weight. You know, that That's the thing about a lineman. You want to be like a wall. You want to protect your quarterback and running back, protect the backfield, or you are trying to knock over those guys and get to the quarterback or running back in the backfield. So you got to be big. You got to be a wall. I mean, I never forget this story. My grandmother, her and my grandfather used to go out and, you know, like every week to a restaurant and just spend some quality time together. And they remember when this is back in the 90s, the Detroit Lions had walked in and these guys were huge. I'm guessing they were linemen because my grandmother said that like three of them ordered just a gallon of milk and downed a gallon of milk in one sitting at this restaurant. She will never forget that. She always tells that story. It's amazing.
That's unheard of because I remember seeing people do challenges where they try to drink a whole gallon of milk and like it ends up coming back up.
That's you just know? Yeah, for them,
that's just
though,
freak of nature's kind of stuff.
For them, that's like a glass of water, I guess. So
I guess.
That's amazing stuff. All right. Just to update again, we're going to try and roll on Mark D'Antonio's press conference, which is scheduled. It's scheduled. Which means nothing in the world of sports, all right? Unless you have like a hard go time for a broadcast. When it comes to media days, they give you this schedule, and the schedule sometimes goes out the window, all right? Yeah, that's what usually happens. What is this?
News team! Assemble!
News team! the famous anchor man. Did I say news team?
Yeah. No, not news team. No, I was just saying like when like Mark D'Antonio finally comes up to the podium, that's how all of the reporters are going to be like, assemble.
That's exactly what's good. That's what it's like because it's like, you know, because I've been to a few of these, well, many of them. And it's like when the head coach approaches that podium, oh my goodness,
people
flock. Oh yeah, they flock right to the chairs and they get the notepads out. It's chaos. It really is. So, Scott Frost, he has just wrapped up his session at the media day podium. So, Nebraska head coach Scott Frost is done, and Mark D'Antonio, again, he is scheduled to come right after Scott Frost. So, we'll roll on that and we'll try to get it up around 1:45. But you know, I got a few points that I do want to make. Alec, because I looked at Michigan State football yesterday and, you know, kind of combed through what I wanted to hear, you know, Mark D'Antonio say during his presser, which starts in about 3 minutes. And, you know, I recapped last season and talked about how there's so many question marks for this team right now, offensively, not so much defensively. But I want to take a big picture look at the Big Ten as a whole, because I think this is a big year for the Big Ten. And from a perception standpoint, from a national perception standpoint, those who look at the Big Ten from a national perspective, those who aren't beat reporters for a certain school in the Big Ten or work for the Big Ten Network and cover the conference, I think that the Big Ten right now is under the microscope to perform because the Big Ten has been underperforming for, in my opinion, far, 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 far too long. Just looking at the playoff drought for the conference, and as I'm talking right now, Mark D'Antonio is making his way alongside Michigan State Sports Information Director Ben Flieger. He's making his way to the podium in just a moment. But when it comes to the playoff drought for the Big Ten, it has been 1,630 days since the Big Ten scored a point in the college football playoff. You have to date all the way back to January 12th of 2015 when you saw the national champ, Ohio State, score a college football playoff point. Because if you remember, Michigan State got blown out to Alabama in 2016 in the college football playoff. That was a 38-0 drubbing. And also Ohio State in 2017 got blown out 31-0. And it's been a while. It's been a while for the Big Ten as it pertains to the college football playoff. You know, the Big Ten has actually missed the last two playoffs. And the Big Ten champion has missed the last three college football playoffs. So overall, the league has made 3 of 5 college football playoffs, but none since 2017. So, you know, I have to ask, Alec, I mean, just as far as you and your expectation concerning this conference, I mean, it's this is a pretty big year, right? And if you see, you know, this conference underperform again, that's going to be a major problem.
Especially because you have conferences like the SEC, you know, that are completely dominating right now. And it's definitely a big year for, you know, just the Big Ten in general, because you have U of M, Northwestern, and you have a bunch of other teams that are coming off really disappointing seasons. And as a conference as a whole, like when you got big teams like MSU and U of M, you know, struggling against games that, you know, shouldn't have been a struggle, then it's going to look bad on your conference in general.
It definitely is. It definitely is. And, you know, there are a lot of sexy storylines for this season. Michigan is being picked to win the Big Ten this year. I know. I still can't believe it. I still don't understand it. I will never. Well, I kind of understand it, solely from the perspective of Michigan living still on the hype of Jim Harbaugh and living on its reputation of the past and still being a powerhouse when it comes to the name of Michigan football. But I do believe that this year, you know, and I've heard some of it coming from Michigan fans, but I believe this year, if Jim Harbaugh does not get it done, if he doesn't at least get to Indy, you are going to see a lot of Jim Harbaugh loyalists out there, I think, flip. You know, and it's the thing, you know, when people who are Jim Harbaugh loyalists, when they argue in defense of Jim Harbaugh, you know, they always bring up the fact that he has won at least 10 games in 3 of his 4 seasons back in Ann Arbor. But what it comes down to is the big games. You know, he is now going into year 5. Has not won any championships going into year 5. And, you know, when it comes to those games like the November 30th showdown between Ohio State and Michigan, Harbaugh has to win. You know, when it comes to that matchup against Michigan State, you got to win again. So, and I think that Ohio State is a bit vulnerable. I mean, you know, new head coach in Ryan Day, but this is still Ohio State. That's going to be a really competitive game. And then, you know, Harbaugh also has the projected Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year in Shea Patterson, who I am excited to see. I'm excited to see how Shea progresses now in his second year at U of M. Can he elevate his game? That's going to be a big question. And I think a big thing when it comes to that offense, that Michigan offense, is if Jim Harbaugh takes the restrictor plate off of the new offensive coordinator, Josh Gattis. So we'll see. So that's a sexy storyline. Can Michigan live up to the hype? Also, I mentioned Ryan Day, you know, now taking over this Ohio State football program from Ohio State coaching legend, really, Urban Meyer. And I think that Ohio State is such a machine and they have so much talent that Ohio State, you're not going to see a major drop-off because Ryan Day is in his first year. I think that Ohio State, when it comes to Ohio State, you know, they're so good and such a big name in college football, and they get, you know, some of the biggest recruits in the nation year after year after year. I think it's more so about the machine than it is the head coach. Not to take anything away from Urban Meyer, but Ohio State football is Ohio State football. And also, you know, Day is going to break in new quarterback Justin Fields. Justin Fields, I mean, and how do you beat 50 touchdown passes from the best single season quarterback in Ohio State history, Dwayne Haskins? I mean, you really can't. You know, Justin Fields is going to be good, though. You know, and the fact that he got eligible in 2019 due to a transfer waiver, you know, that gives the Buckeyes a chance to defend that conference title. That was big. And, you know, when it comes to Fields, and this is the era that we live in, right? You know, the transfer portal era, where if I ain't starting, I'm departing, Alec. You know, that's the world we live in, because Fields, I mean, this is a guy that was the former number one high school recruit. And he spent his freshman season backing up Jake Fromm at Georgia, you know, with little hope of winning the job come this season. So he said, I'm going to enter the transfer portal, goes to Ohio State, immediately becomes eligible, and I think Ohio State is going to be a very compelling team for next year. I think the West is wide open. You know, Nebraska right now is the hot and sexy pick, Alec. Everybody's picking Nebraska right now. You know, Wisconsin was that team that everybody looked to in the West and said, okay, who's going to beat Wisconsin? And it's seemingly shifting in the favor, at least this upcoming year, you know, for Scott Frost in Nebraska. So, you know, Northwestern is actually the defending champion, if you remember from last year. Purdue beat Ohio State last season. That was epic and crazy. So I think you can go a lot of different places here. You know, and I think that, you know, Scott Frost, I'm a fan of Scott Frost. I mean, I think he has Nebraska poised after finishing strong last season. Wisconsin should bounce back with 2,000-yard rusher Jonathan Terry and steady Paul Christ. Don't forget about Kirk Ferentz. He is currently the game's longest tenured coach, returning for his 21st season. The West is intriguing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I think it's pretty wide open when you talk about the Big Ten West, Alec.
And isn't this past football season, wasn't that Scott Frost's first recruiting class?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe so.
So,
because last year, well, yeah, I think so. Yeah, you're right.
I believe it's his first recruiting class of right. this year. So, I mean, as long as he keeps consolidating, you know, and, you know, getting rapport with other recruits, you know, and just keep going along with that process, you know, his team can only go up from here. And that's why I didn't understand critiques of Scott Frost in his first year when none of those players were his to begin with. So right, it's just right. like, I just never understood that people were already up in arms on Twitter saying, oh, fire Scott Frost, fire him. But I mean, like, what do you expect for him to do when he was put in a situation like this?
I love Scott Frost.
I love him as a coach.
He's you just get the sense. I mean, just listening to him at press conferences, you just get a sense that he's got a firm two hands on the wheel, and that's what you want to hear from a coach. And this, you know, you listen to his players and how they talk about him. He's firm, but he's also a player's coach. They love playing for him, and he's done a great job, I think, with his recruiting class. So, Nebraska's going to be an interesting team to watch. And you know, and Kirk Ferentz. I mean, isn't that amazing? I mean, you don't hear that nowadays. I mean. 21st season? That's crazy.
Especially at one place. That's unheard of.
Right? I mean, that is absolutely amazing. In an age where, you know, stats show that the average head coach lasts less than 5 years at an institution, Iowa and Kirk Ferentz, you know, that's the embodiment of steadiness. That is amazing. So, and the thing about Iowa is you just never know week to week with them. I mean, they're competitive. You don't look at Iowa and say, oh yeah, that's going to be an easy win. They're competitive every single Saturday.
Yeah. They never are ever like Rutgers where you're just like, oh yeah, you can assume that you're pretty much going to get a win with them. Like Iowa, they've always been stuck in what I call this, like kind of like 8-8 purgatory. It's like they're not necessarily in heaven yet.
Right.
You know, they're in that little purgatory, that little in between spot, you know, trying to make their way into there, but they just can't make it past through those pearly gates.
Right, exactly. And it's the thing, you know, 20 years at one place. That of course leads all FBS coaches. Check this. Since 2005, Ferentz has more bowl-less seasons, two, then first place finishes. One. The Hawkeyes have one top 25 finish this decade, but the average of almost 8 wins over those 20 seasons leads to really question for me, Alec. I mean, who could have done better? That's pretty impressive at Iowa. I mean, an average of 8 wins over 20 seasons? That's pretty good, especially in Iowa. So I also want to note that this is also Jim Delaney's final Big Ten Media Days. As many of you know, Jim Delaney is retiring, and he will officially walk away in June of next year, June of 2020. And, you know, Jim Delaney, he's done a lot of great things for the Big Ten, you know, a record, peep this, $759 million in revenue. So in the Big Ten network that he has created, that's thriving for the most part. So it's pretty impressive what Jim has been able to do throughout his tenure. And he's an innovator, and many people use even the icon word. This is his final Big Ten Media Days. So, all right, let's hit our first break. When I come back, we are going to try and usher in a bit of what Mark D'Antonio is saying right now at Big Ten Media Days. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports, and I think we may have pulled it off. As Mark D'Antonio, he is just now, he has just left the Big Ten Media Days podium, talking with the media. I kid you not, I have it streaming right here on my laptop, and as soon as we went to that first break, you know, he probably talked for maybe like 30 more seconds. But then he wrapped it up and said, go green. So we have it for the most part. Alec is working right now. It's uploaded. It's in there. Alec is loading it right now, into our system, and we'll play that for you in just a moment. As we were going to that first break, Coach D was commenting on the three player representatives. Can I say this too? Before we get to Coach D, I want to get this off my chest too, because I have seen this a lot on Twitter since yesterday when people were finding out, and I don't know how you didn't know prior yesterday, it's been announced for a long time, when people were, I guess, you know, it was hitting them that there will be no offensive representatives, player representatives going to Chicago for Big Ten Media Days, and it will be Raekwon Williams, Joe Bocci, and Kenny Willekes, and people were saying, oh, why isn't your quarterback, the leader of the team, the you know, the most important position on the football field, why isn't your QB one of those player representatives? Well, you know what? How can you argue against Joe Bocci, Kenny Willekes, and Raekwon Williams? Three guys who have, first off, fantastic personalities. Not like Brian Lewerke doesn't. I mean, Brian Lewerke has a great personality. He's one of my favorite interviews. But looking at these three guys, great personalities, who were key components to last year's top 10 ranked defense. I mean, why not bring those guys? And I think from D'Antonio's perspective, from his point of view, he was looking at things and saying that, okay, if I was to bring Brian Lewerke, you know that everybody would just pepper Brian Lewerke and hammer him with questions about his health, about how bad and how poorly he played last season, and that would be the center of just about every question that he was going to be asked. I mean, what head coach wants his starting quarterback dealing with that garbage? I mean, come on. I totally get it. You know, let Brian just focus on his game away from the distraction and go from there. So I get why Coach D, I totally understand why Coach D decided to make this move. And, you know, Willekes, Bocci, and Williams, I mean, these three guys were incredible. They really were. You know, Bocci reached 100 tackles and has done each of the last 2 years. He was a first-team All-Big Ten selection last season by the coaches. Willekes was named the Big Ten's Smith Brown Defensive Lineman of the Year before that broken fibula in the Red Box Bowl loss to Oregon. And then you got Raekwon Williams, the future mayor of Chicago. I love that. I love that storyline, by the way. Then you have Raekwon Williams, though, who is a great, talented run stopper coming off a career best season. These are fantastic choices by Mark D'Antonio to represent this team in Chicago. So all of those out there, I mean, that's just the world we live into. I mean, we're so reactionary in sports and drama leads and, you know, you're going to have people out there that say, oh, my goodness, you didn't bring your starting quarterback. What does that mean? Is Brian really the guy? Is he still fighting for his job as the lead man behind center? You're going to have folks like that. And to that, I say that it's nonsense. If I was Coach D'Antonio, I probably would have done the same thing. I don't want my starting quarterback having to deal with that kind of garbage. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. We are working on that. Mark, do we have it yet? We do have it. Mark D'Antonio.
We've been here, so.
Mark D'Antonio is, you just heard him there. We've been here before. Yeah, that's Mark D'Antonio. Mark D'Antonio is just wrapping up his press conference in Chicago at Big Ten Media Days. And we have most of what he had to say. Again, literally, as I stopped rolling on this, when we went to that first break, he probably talked for about, you know, 25 to 30 more seconds, and that was it. He said, go green and chuck the deuces. So here is what Mark D'Antonio had to say at the podium, and we roll that in now.
Here, I think it's the 13th season we've been here, so looking forward very much to the beginning of the 2019 season. As was said, we returned 20 starters from our football team this year, 50 lettermen. Very exciting. Been very, very impressed with the way we've gone about our business since the bowl game. We have had great leadership. Our players have responded at every venue in terms of doing their very, very best, and they bring a sense of commitment to our program at this point in time. So we're excited about 19. Looking forward to it. I'll take some questions. We'll go from there.
Again, please raise your hand. We'll begin on the far back right corner.
Mark Cristallari, Detroit Free Press. You have a new name on the roster, Jaden Reed. But can you discuss what the transfer portal has been like as a coach to go through? And when if there's a chance to realign divisions, a second question, do you feel like the league should do that at some point?
First question, portal has been interesting. I think there's been over 2,500 names that have been into the portal. You almost have to recruit that as well as your high school seniors. There's the only individual that we really looked and visited from the portal. I think you have a need. You'd look to that need to try and satisfy that. We took Jalen, and very excited about his opportunities as he moves forward. He's 3-for-3, and he's an outstanding young player that will be coming to Michigan State. In regards to the second question, I've not heard about the realignment of divisions, but I guess change is inevitable. And at some point in time, things happen. So I'll just deal with it as it comes.
Next question is immediately on your left.
Yeah, Jim.
Hey, Mark. Jim Comperoni, SpartanMag.com. You have a lot of returning starters on defense, but you lose Kari Willis. How difficult will it be to replace what he did as a communicator on the field? And is Xavier Henderson making progress toward helping in that regard?
Yeah, Kari Willis was an outstanding player for us. He's currently with the Colts. And he meant a lot to our football team in general as a leader. He's had a tremendous senior year, so we'll miss that. We always miss good players, but Xavier Henderson's the guy that played as a true freshman, has a tremendous amount of ability. He's a four-star player out of Ohio, out of Pickerington. And, you know, when you have a guy like Kari, he sort of wears off on you a little bit in terms of the next one up. So I think he's taken on a lot of his habits, and we're very excited about his progress, and he should be an outstanding player. Great ball skills, great range, big. He's gained a little bit of weight. He's about 205 now, but, you know, and he's played and he has game experience. So we bring back a defense that is in the top 10 in the country in, I think, 5 different categories. So we're excited about that opportunity, and that's the reason I brought 4 defensive players here with us this weekend here because of the value that has been placed on defense this past year and the results that what they've been able to do.
Another question from the front row.
Hi, Mark. Dave Biddle from 24/7 Sports. The Ohio State game is always a big game for you guys each year and for Ohio State. You spent time at Ohio State. I'm just curious to get your thoughts on Urban Meyer stepping away, Ryan Day taking over the program, and just your thoughts on that.
Yeah, first of all, Urban Meyer's done a tremendous job there. You know, when you think he's lost, you know, I have 2 hands, and I think he's only lost 8 times. So it's amazing over the course of time since 2012 and the championships that have been won there and the direction that that program has gone and what's taken place there. I've been very impressed with Ryan Day. I've only met him a couple times. Obviously, he's had great success on the football field, but I've been impressed with him as a person, charismatic. So, you know, look forward to the challenges that he brings.
All the way in the back, straight ahead.
Thank you, Coach. Roy Akers, Midwest Sports Team. How is progress so far, Brian Lewerke, for his senior season?
Yeah, Brian Lewerke, if you look back into his sophomore year, he's the only player in Michigan State history that passed for over 2,500, ran for over 500. So he was an extremely productive player as a sophomore. Got hit a little bit with the injury bug midway through the season. But I think his confidence is back. He certainly is back and healthy. He's bigger and stronger. He's faster. And he comes into his senior year with a tremendous amount of game experience. With that being said, Rocky Lombardi, our other quarterback who played a little bit in and out this past year and started some games, is also back, and he'll be a redshirt sophomore. So he brings another sense of experience as well, which is a good option as well. So they'll compete to some degree, but right now Brian is our number one quarterback, and I expect great things from him. And I expect him to return to his sophomore status, and very exciting to watch him play.
Let's go right up the middle on the right.
Yeah. Hondo Carpenter of Spartan Nation. Hi, Mark. Can you talk about Jim Bowman's impact, what you've seen in that offensive lineman room, please?
Yeah, you know, Jim Bowman is a longtime offensive line coach, and we restructured our offensive staff. We basically have put everybody back to their positions of expertise. And when we were able to hire Coach Bowman in 2013, he had immediate impact. He's coached, I think, 44 is the acting number of professional football players in the offensive line. Guys have gone on in the NFL, so he brings a great expertise there. And his teaching progression is has been simplified a little bit, from what I understand, and in talking to the players. And I look forward to watching the progress there. But he's a guy that has been able to calm the waters. Coach Staten goes back to coaching the tight ends. Coach Warner back to the quarterbacks. Coach Salem back to the running backs. And they brought Coach Treadwell back to the wide receivers. And all of those guys have coached guys at the highest level. They've all had tremendous success at those positions, and we're looking forward to that production.
All the way back in the middle.
Mark, Jack Doles from WID TV, Grand Rapids. Kenny Willekes, how does he go from walk-on to a guy that was the Big Ten Defensive Lineman of the Year and a guy who's on all these watch lists? And did you see that when you recruited him?
You know, it's amazing some of the success guys have had coming to Michigan State and other places about being what I call free agents. You know, Jack Conklin came as a free agent and becomes the number one pick and an All-American player. You know, Kyler Ellsworth, same way, and makes the hit in the Rose Bowl and is the MVP of the Rose Bowl. Kenny Willekes is just another story. Great story. Intense. Guy that came here as a linebacker, transitioned to tight end, sort of the F. Worked on scout team for 2 years, and all of a sudden he's playing a little bit in 16, and then busts out in 2017 and defensive lineman of the year in the Big Ten Conference in 18. So he's a guy that very explosive, very tough, hard worker, prepares, rubs off on everybody around him, and his intensity is contagious. So we're really looking forward to him and the others. He's on, you know, on this set, I guess, today, so you'll have an opportunity to meet him. But how does that happen? I think it happens by with dreams. You know, our focus this year, our mantra this year, will be chase the moment, and it's really about chasing dreams. And I think that he's done that and continues to do that at a high level.
There you hear Mark D'Antonio again, a bit of what he had to say, most of what he had to say during his time at Big Ten Media Days at the podium. In Chicago, and the mantra for the 2019 Michigan State college football season this year is chase the moment. Chase the moment. I like that. I like that a lot, actually. All right, let's hit our final break, and as we say goodbye to all of our current sports listeners on this Thursday edition of Current Sports, I want to talk about Jim Harbaugh and some controversy that's just now breaking as it pertains to Urban Meyer, former head coach of Ohio State. Harbaugh took a swipe at Urban Meyer. I'll tell you what he had to say when we come back.
Mm-hmm. Coaches on the beat.
Okay, we just played to you, a bit of what Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Michigan State football team, had to say in Chicago. Big Ten Media Day is officially kicking off today. It will last until tomorrow. And, you know, I mentioned the mantra for Michigan State this upcoming season. It will be chase the moment. Chase the moment, like chasing the dream. Love that. Also, Coach D, you heard him comment on one acquisition that they had on the transfer portal, picking up Jaden Reed, the wide receiver from Western Michigan University. We won't see him until 2020. He had 56 catches for 787 yards and 8 touchdowns for Western last season. And also, a new walk-on appearing on MSU's roster. It is the brother of Kenny Willekes, Charles Willekes. So awesome stuff there. And real quick, just want to bring this story to you guys. apparently, when speaking with the Athletic's Tim Kawakami, Jim Harbaugh took a swipe at former head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, Urban Meyer, saying, quote, "Urban Meyer's had a winning record, a really phenomenal record everywhere he's been. But also controversy follows everywhere he's been." Oh, Jimmy boy.
Spicy, spicy, spicy.
Yeah, he wouldn't say that if Urban Meyer was still the head coach at Ohio State, though.
Not a chance.
It's kind of like a whole being back moment. You know what I mean? Like, I can say this now that he's gone. But yeah, controversy everywhere he's
been. It's like a shade above trigger fingers turned to Twitter fingers. It's like a tier above that.
Yeah, a little bit. So I'll leave you with that, folks. We'll have more on Big Ten Media Days tomorrow. As always, take care and be easy, people.